Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. So welcome to episode 4, which is Answered Prayers and the Miracle Code. I'm super excited to tell you guys some really amazing stories, and I want to teach you exactly how you can create miracles, and I've done it in the past, and I will do it again, so pay attention. Anyways, these are some of my best stories, and they concern our animals, which I think we could all relate to. So basically, the theme is mustard seed faith, agreement in prayer, and the power of speaking boldly. Real-life miracle stories that prove prayer works, from pets to divine timing. So the first story I'm going to tell you is about our Maltese, Juicy, that Ellie named Juicy, obviously after Juicy Couture when she was about 4 years old. And at the age of 14, Juicy had a collapsed trachea. And my daughter, Ellie, at the time was living in LA, and she was super attached to Juicy, and as was I, because she's been through so much with me and totally is really more like my dog, even though it's supposed to be her dog. But at the age of 14, you know, they told us there's no treatment options for it, and basically it was the end of the line. So I had to tell Ellie and asked her to come home from LA so she could say goodbye to Juicy. And her friend road tripped back. It was a super stressful, very sad time. And as soon as she got back, I literally just prayed to Jesus to heal her completely and to prove it to Ellie that he is real. And literally, he 100% healed Juicy. And I, in my mind, just between him and I asked Jesus for 3 more years. And it's now been over 4. So she's 18. She's doing amazing. There was no sign of the trachea thing after that whole incident. So that was pretty incredible. And I have so many stories like that. So many. I'm just sharing that one because it's with the dog theme and it's a pretty big deal. I've personally prayed for a lot of animals and had them miraculously heal. My brother's cat just super recently too. He had a very serious eye issue. They thought it was cancer. It was all swollen and horrible. And when I was there to see my parents the last couple months ago, I prayed and everything turned around 100%, and the cat's eye is completely healed. So that was cool too for my brother to see, because I made a big point about not coming into agreement with fear, because it's faith over fear always, always, always. And that is a challenge, because when it's something that's super emotional for us, we immediately go to worst case scenario and feel so disempowered. Another time I was going to an emergency vet. I don't remember the exact scenario, but I was in that horrible mindset thinking this could be it. This could be the end. And literally there was somebody in the waiting room with a hat on that said faith over fear. And so I think those kind of clothing things are so cool, because you're always giving someone else hope when they need it, and everything was fine. So getting back to the miracle code and the steps that you can take to get a miracle, I'm going to tell you 2 stories to demonstrate it. The first one is about one of my daughter's cats, Mochi, and Ellie had been over in Europe for a few weeks, and I had taken her cat for her, and she had a really hard time at the end of that trip, and she literally missed like 3 flights in a row, none of which was her fault. One was, I don't remember, horrible traffic in Paris, and she got to the airport just way too late, and they ended up having to switch her to a different airport, also in Paris. It was just one of those days where like every last thing went wrong, and she missed that flight, and then they got her on another one, and right when she got to the gate, they wouldn't let her on, and she just was completely broken down, which anybody would be at this point. And basically, she had to stay at the airport overnight, and she was due to come into LA that next afternoon. I don't know if it was 1, 2 o'clock, something like that. And I was driving from Scottsdale to pick her up at the airport and take her back to her place in LA and to stay there for a few days. And I had the 2 little dogs and the cat in the car road tripping. And I've done this many times. And basically, I got about an hour outside of Phoenix on the freeway, and I had to pull over for gas or to use the bathroom. I don't remember exactly. And there was a big, huge field right outside of the gas station. So as I was pulling out, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to open the door, let the dogs out really quick so they can pee before I got back on the road. And I did that. They're both little and so good. It was like I just set them down and it took all of, you know, a minute and a half, put them back in the car and got back on the road. And about maybe an hour and a half further up the freeway, I had to get off again. Maybe this time it was for gas. And when I got to the gas station, I just looked around the car and I noticed that the cat was missing, Mochi. And I was like, how is this even possible? And I literally went through the entire car and she was not in it. And it was the worst feeling ever because I realized the only thing that made sense was she had to have gotten out of the car when I let the dogs out, like I hadn't seen. And she slipped out somehow and was probably running in that field. And so I had no choice. I could not turn around and drive another hour and a half back. So I had to just keep driving towards LA. And I was just absolutely freaked out of my mind. I could not believe that I did that. And I was like, how am I ever going to tell Ellie that I lost the cat? And so I just started just brainstorming with every last thing I could do. Like I called the police. I have no idea what the gas station's name was, where I stopped, what the exit was, nothing. I called my boyfriend at the time, just hysterical, and told him, was trying to describe the area, what I could remember so he could start researching and from his end. And he did actually even get on the freeway and drove to where that was looking for her. I was calling every single rest stop that I could find, and I thought I figured out which one it was, and I got someone on the phone that worked there, and I was just begging them to go outside and look through that field and see if they could find her. And I was like, I'll give anything, anything, if they could find her. And at one point, I called my mom. I was just hysterical, just crying hysterically. And you know, as I kept driving, I was just getting further and further and further away. And it was just the most dismal, awful feeling ever. And at one point, and I was probably pretty close to Palm Springs, maybe I had just started coming into the Palm Springs area, my friend Marcus, who is one of my church friends, and he's amazing. If he prays for something, like it happens. He's the guy that I call whenever I have an issue, or a family member. I have so many miracle Marcus stories, which I should tell on another episode and eventually have him on an episode because he's absolutely amazing. But he called me back and I was just bawling, crying, telling him the story, you know, just out of breath, could barely speak. And he was super calm and he said, okay, the first thing you need to do is come into agreement with me. And I was just like, you know, to me, it was super clear. I'm not getting the cat back. And to come into agreement with him, you know, again, when we talk about how you just need the agreement or the amount of a mustard seed of faith, that's about all I had. I was just like, okay. I mean, it was just the smallest little amount. I was like, okay. So he goes into this prayer and it was pretty detailed. And he was just saying, you know, that at one point towards the end of the prayer, he was saying that we'll be okay regardless of if we got the cat back or not. And I just said, I stopped him right there and I said, no, I said, that is not an option. I said, that is not an option. I said, I'm getting the cat back and that's all there is to it. And we hung up the call. And the minute I hung up the call, I heard, meow. And I was like, what? And so I literally, as soon as I could pull over on the freeway, I pull the car over. You know, there's trucks whizzing by me going, you know, 90 miles an hour, winds and everything else. And I completely go through the entire car again. And there's no sign of her. She is not in the car. And I was like, okay, I must have just heard something else and imagined that. So I got back in the car. And I'm just driving along the freeway and again, still just in a really bad place. And maybe like another mile up, I heard it again. And I was like, what on earth is going on? So I get off at the next exit and I pull into this gas station and I completely tear apart the entire car. And she is not in it anywhere. And I'm like, where is this coming from? And finally, at one point, I literally just like climbed under the steering wheel on where the brakes and stuff are on the driver's side. And I happened to see, like, just because I happened to stick my head underneath the steering wheel, I see about 1 inch of her tail peeking down from, I guess, where the airbag was. So there was some kind of a tiny little hole that she had climbed up in. And I guess was right behind the airbag the whole time. And part of me really thinks she was lost at that rest stop. And this was the miracle is, why did I not hear a peep from her until that exact second when I said, no, there is no other option other than we're getting her back. So regardless, now I had another issue because I'm like, how on earth will I ever get her out of here? There's just no way. And I also was on the clock because I was supposed to be picking Ellie up at the airport at a certain time. And I'd planned the whole trip around that. And so I look around the whole area and there was different small businesses here and there. And I was like, who can I get to help me? And I see this Harley Davidson dealership. And I was like, okay, I'm just going there. It's just looks like the most obvious thing. So I drive to the Harvey Davidson dealership and I get out and I went inside and I was crying because it was all so dramatic and I was so stressed out. And I went in and talked to the manager and I said, listen, I have a cat stuck in the car. I just need someone to help me get it out. And he was like, oh, we have just the guy. And I forget his name, but he was like, you need, you know, Chris, the cat whisperer. And I was like, what? So this guy comes out, this like old weathered Harley kind of guy. And he, you know, comes with this little toolbox. And he was like, how's it going? And literally just goes to work on taking apart my entire dash of my car. And first of all, he told me that his cat was in movies and he had just moved here to Palm Springs from Hollywood, but that he had a cat that was famous that was in movies. And when I said, how do you know how to take my dash apart? He said, well, my last job was working for Mercedes-Benz in Beverly Hills. So it was just such a miracle. And it took him a while, but he got the entire dash apart. And we still had to go through like another phase of getting the cat to come out of there and praying and drama. But eventually we got her out and all the Harley guys were all cheering and it was so exciting and epic anyways. So after he put the car back together perfectly, like nothing had ever happened, I drove off after giving him a giant tip, of course. And I was like, there's no way I could ever tell Ellie that I did this. And even so, I was like an hour late. She ended up having to Uber home and was upset with me for not being there. And I was just like, oh my God, if you only knew. And eventually I did tell her and she wasn't upset with me, obviously. But it was just such an amazing story, because what are the chances of the timing, number one, of the prayer with Marcus and then me declaring that with my words and the cat meowing right at that second, and that the very next rest stop up when it made noise again, that I got off, and that the very first place that I go to on, you know, it must be Holy Spirit directed, but is to the Harley Davidson where the cat whisperer comes out that used to work at the Mercedes dealership. I mean, it truly is like a dream. It's one of my favorite stories because it was a miracle and it was all created miraculously through prayer. So anyways, I want to tell you a second story on how I manifested and this exact scenario again through prayer. So I was moving about, I don't know, 6 months ago, and I had Ellie's two cats again. She was in town and she had a boy cat too that used to be with her boyfriend, but long story, they were both at my place when I was moving and she was traveling, and I had the movers come, and I literally, this is such a great story, I literally locked the two cats in a bathroom where nobody could get in. I let all the movers know there's nothing in the bathroom, just the cats, don't open the door, blah, blah, blah. So I was super nervous about this move too, because the building I was living in, this condo development, had given me a ton of issues and problems. And there was a loading zone that was just steps away from my unit, but they were trying to say I needed to go to a different building and have my belongings, like my Steinway grand piano, hoisted in an elevator and taken to the other side of the building. Just insanity. And so I was really, really nervous about this move because they had just literally bullied me about getting out of there. And I prayed up like you would not believe in terms of the movers and just everything going smoothly. And it was Ellie that I actually prayed with, because I always have to have one person that comes into agreement with me. And I think I also prayed with my other church friend, Trista, who I usually reach out to if I need her to come into agreement. And I'll always say something like this prayer, you know, dear Jesus, please put your hand on this entire move. We ask that everything goes smoothly and quickly and that there's no issues and problems with security or the building, and please put your hand on all of our belongings and help them to get there safely. Please protect the animals during the move, the cars, anything that's connected to it. And thank you. You know, your word says no weapon formed against us will prosper. You always stand on the word. And thank you in advance, because we know when two of us come together and ask for anything in your name, it will be done. So we were all prayed up and the movers came, and I literally had postponed this move for like 2 years because I was so worried about how I'm going to get out of the building and how harassing their security was with me and how, you know, inflexible the HOA was. And it was just a big deal. So anyways, the movers came and moved everything out. They did a great job. There was like five guys, you know, they came in and got everything out of the condo. We had a backyard too, all the patio furniture, basically everything in the truck completely out of the place I was living in. And other than the cats are still in that bathroom with the door shut. Hey, real quick. If you're loving the tips and stories I'm sharing, you've got to check out the beauty products I've created.
These aren't just any products. My beauty ammo kit has been used on Hollywood sets and on shows like Dancing with the Stars, and my Paint by Number eyeshadow kit was featured twice on the Today Show, and it was a 5-star customer pick on HSN. I'm offering them as a bundle for just $99 to my Beauty Revival launch listeners, and it is a $155 value. If you're looking for lifted skin, brighter eyes, and that youthful glow, my magical trio is your new best friend, featuring the fan favorite Lift and Snap Serum, my Unpack Your Bags Eye Gel, and the Marine Magic Moisturizer. Oh, and don't miss my Supernatural Brow product. It helps them get thicker with castor oil, and it's really easy to use. And if you want the most flattering, shimmery lipstick ever, Capri is it. Inspired by my travels and looks stunning on absolutely everyone. Head to mbyork.com to shop all of my best sellers. I even bundle them in kits to keep it easy. That's mbyork.com. The link is in the show notes. It's time to get glowing.
So when the movers were waiting for me because I was going to go get in my car and then the truck was going to follow me to my new place, which was nearby. And literally when I went out the front door, I saw my Jesus truck. And I'm going to do a whole episode on my Jesus truck, which is the Shamrock food truck. And I just, for whatever reason, I made that truck my sign for Jesus. And I found out later on one of my prayer calls with this like elderly woman from Ireland that the shamrock, it does symbolize the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which I didn't even know that when I made it my Jesus sign. But anyways, Jesus always shows me when he's nearby. So when I opened up my front door, right as I was walking out, literally Jesus drives by, and I was just like, oh my God, that's so amazing, because I had prayed such a huge prayer for this to go smooth. So I went down to the parking garage, got in my SUV, and I pulled up to the loading zone where the moving truck was waiting for me, and I pulled out onto the street. The moving truck pulled behind me, and then behind that pulled another Shamrock food truck, which is Jesus. And literally, it followed us all the way to the new place, which was so mind-blowing. I was like, not only did he show me that he was there, but he showed me that he got us to the new place, which was just incredible. So while the movers were putting everything into my new place, I had to go back because I had carpet cleaners coming to clean the carpets in the bedrooms, and everything was just all organized. So I ran back over there to check on the carpet cleaners and, you know, getting last little odds and ends. And the carpet cleaner did make some comment, like, I had to open up that bathroom door just like a crack to get the carpets cleaned along that edge. And I saw, I think I scared one of the cats. It ran towards the back. It was some random story. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, like, thanks for telling me. So end of story. And I left after he was done and paid him. And then I came back to my new place and was overseeing everything, getting unpacked on this end. And when everything was said and done, I was like, okay, the movers left here. Now I'm going to go back and get the cats and bring them over here until my daughter got back from her trip. And I went back, open up the bathroom door, and there's only one cat in there. The other one is missing. So it was the boy cat that was missing. And I was like, what on earth? Where? And I mean, I opened up every single cabinet. The cat was not in there. And so now the entire condo was completely vacant, emptied out of everything, and we're missing a cat. And I was like, obviously, it was the carpet cleaner when he opened the door, and he had to have gotten out then because the movers never opened it. And it was the only thing that made sense. And I also thought it was weird that he told me that he had opened the door and saw the cat run back and blah, blah. So immediately I called the carpet cleaner and I was like, one of the cats is missing. And, you know, I'm super upset about this. And he was like, no, he was in there. And I said, which one did you see? And he described the one that was missing. So I knew that it wasn't the movers that had accidentally let him out, because the carpet cleaner was there after and he did describe the male cat because they look completely different. So I was like, obviously he let him out. And when he had the hose in the door open with the carpet cleaning, he ran out somewhere in the building. So I was absolutely just so freaked out. So of course I had to tell my daughter, who was just out of her mind, upset, was trying to look at flights to fly in to help me and postpone or cut her trip short. And I said, it's not going to do any good for you to come in at midnight. Like, do not fly home. So we had all the security guards and some friends in the building, everyone like walking around, looking through all the landscape, you know, to see if he was hiding somewhere. And just this huge process. I went and bought a flashlight. I was like, there's no way that, you know, he can be that far, but he was nowhere and he could have been anywhere. And so it was weird. I had heard the story a few times, like in the last 30 days, that if you ever have a cat run away, like to put their litter box outside and that they can smell it for up to a mile away. So my daughter was like, you cannot leave there. You have to stay there again tonight. Because what if he comes home? And I was like, okay, that's a good point. I'll just sleep on the floor and put the kitty litter outside. And, you know, hopefully I'll hear him come back and, you know, pray. So getting back to the prayer. So immediately I did the prayer, same exact kind of prayer that I always do with Trista, I'm sure with Marcus, with anyone that would listen, I was praying. And then I even went on this like Facebook prayer group type thing, a few of them, and I put prayer requests on there. And there was literally like on some of them, you know, like 50 people praying for me to find the cat. It was pretty cool. And it's just getting darker and darker and later. And, you know, I literally got this sign, and God tells me so much. I get so many signs for so many things, and it's always pretty clear. And I was shown that we were going to get him back, but that it wasn't going to be for a couple weeks. And so we did have a chip in him, and we were thinking, you know, who knows, maybe he'll end up in a shelter or something. We'll get him later. But I was still holding out hope that he would come home that night. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to go on to one of the prayer groups and I'm going to get someone there to come into agreement with me that we need to speed up the time to which this prayer is going to be answered. Because I was like, no, that we have to get him back tonight. This is not going to be 2 weeks later. That's going to be grueling and awful. And after we're gone from this place, which we're already moved out, it's just going to be way more dismal to think, how could he ever find his way back? So I went on to one of the prayer groups and I just asked a random person there. I said, please come into agreement with me that this cat needs to be found tonight. I said, it cannot be down the line in 2 weeks. We need to just cut through any walls with the time. We need to stand in agreement, take our authority in the name of Jesus, putting the blood of Jesus over the whole scenario and using our words, you know, commanding this situation to turn around. So I did that. And then I went to sleep and I brought some pillows and stuff and I was sleeping on the floor in the condo, kind of outside in my bedroom, kind of outside of the bathroom. And I don't know what time it was. At some time, maybe like 11 p.m. or something, I thought I heard like some rustling or something. I heard this sound that was like rustling and I was like, what on earth is that? And I went into the bathroom again. And I opened up every single cabinet, every single thing. I was taking videos, you know, and showing Ellie because she kept saying it to like, make sure he's not in there. And he was not in there anywhere. And back to the different ways that I was praying and The other key with creating this miracle is I stayed in faith. This time I wasn't all freaked out like I was the first time when I lost the first cat. This time I just said, no, this is going to work out. We're getting him back. I'm totally staying in faith. I'm not going into fear and panic. And then I remembered the prayer that I had done with Ellie. And I said to Ellie, when we did that prayer for the move, I said, didn't we include the animals? And she said, yeah, we did. And I said, okay, well, we're getting him back. There's no way that Jesus shows me he was here, has a truck follow us all the way to the new place, and then he's going to drop the ball with the animal and we're just going to be losing a cat at the end of this. There's just no possible way. So the prayer is protected and we're getting him back. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. So the other important key is I told the story several times during the last, you know, few hours when people were calling and checking in and asking and helping. I told the story of what had happened the time before and how the cat had been gone, and by praying and everything else, how we created the miracle and found the cat. So, so important, because again, it's the universe is like hearing the story and we're putting it out there. We're using our words. And maybe another 30 minutes later, I heard some kind of a rustling sound again coming out of the bathroom. And I was like, what on earth? So I go into the bathroom again, and down underneath one of the double cabinet things, like way on the end, I see about 1 inch of the cat's tail peeking out from inside the wall. It's too hard to explain without seeing it. But literally, I was like, oh my God, he's here. He's stuck in the wall. And it was the same exact scenario as what happened with the other cat with the tail sticking out of the wall. And so I looked everywhere and I'm like, how on earth would I ever get him out? So I had to call the fire department, and all of these really cute firemen show up, and we were getting it on video, and my daughter was so thankful and grateful, you know, that we had found him and that he was there in the house. But hey, if I didn't stay there the last night, he would have died in the wall. And literally, there wasn't anyone new moving in for a few weeks, and there would have been no way of anyone knowing that he was in there. But the firemen could not get him out, and he's kind of a feral cat. He was really hissing and so mad at the firemen. And literally, the firemen had to stand on top of the sink, and then there was a cabinet way up high that there was like a little 4-inch wide opening where they could look down and see him like 9 feet below. It's super hard to visualize probably if you don't know what I'm seeing. And they did every trick in the book to get clamps to do whatever. And he was just hissing and screaming, and they could not get him out of there. And they said, you know what, you're just going to have to wait until tomorrow. And you're going to have someone come and take the wall apart to get him out. And they said, don't worry, like he can breathe in there. He's safe, you know, so he'll be okay until you can get that done. And so I was like, okay. So the fire department leaves. And I felt really bad, you know, that he was in there and stuck. But anyways, I went back to sleep. And I did have the thought of like, you know, when I create these miracles, it's not messy. Like it tidies up in every category. There's not like some like horrible thing where now, you know, it's going to be $7,000 in construction costs because they had to take the entire walls apart. So that just wasn't sitting right with me. And I was laying on the floor, and a few hours later, I heard him crying in there, and I felt so bad. So I climbed up on top of the sink and I took my blanket that I'd been sleeping on, and I could see him down there, and he was looking up at me, and I could see he was trusting me, even though he was super traumatized by all the firemen. And he was just looking at me like, please help me. And I just felt terrible. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try to like feed the blanket down there, and maybe he'll like hook his nails into the blanket and I can like hoist him up. And so I fed the blanket down, and he was smart enough to know exactly what I was trying to do. So he kept jumping on it and sliding back down and jumping on it and sliding back down. And he's just looking at me, like pleading with me, please help me get out of here. And so finally, like the third time, he hoists his nails in, and he was so heavy, but I pulled the entire blanket. I hoisted it all the way up, and he came out of the top of the cabinet, and I got him free. And so it was just such a hallelujah moment, because it was just a complete and total miracle where he was back. He was fine. There was no damages. I didn't have to pay some crazy fees for the walls to be taken apart. So that again was me creating the exact same miracle for a second time. So there was a lot of pieces there. And in other episodes, I'm going to talk more about this, because I do it with my friends with lots of different scenarios. And it's crazy how much it works. And there's a visualization component too that we'll use that also helps. And we did do it with this second story for sure. My friend Trista and I, after we pray and we stand on the word and we come into agreement and we speak what's going to happen, then we visualize it and then we react to each other as if it happened. So, and this is biblical too, and I'm going to definitely be including like exactly where it is in the Bible. But basically, there's a guy, Mike Popovich. You can look him up on YouTube. And he's the one that he's a Christian that teaches how to do this. And he's the one that I originally learned it from. And we've just been doing it ever since. And it really works. So I'll just say to Trista in a pretend text, and she knows she's part of the whole loop of what's happening. And I'll be like, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. We found the cat. And she'll be like, woohoo, woohoo, that's amazing. And she'll send all these excited emojis. And I'll be like, I know, I just can't even believe it. God is so good. This is such a miracle. Give all the praise, you know, and it works like every time. So we did that also. So again, I know those were two really long stories. I have so many, and those are a couple of my very favorite ones. And I think, you know, it's helpful if you ever lose a pet or a diamond. I've done it where I lost diamonds a couple times out of my ring. And before I go into fear, I literally will say, no, I'm getting it back. I declare it and just stand on that. I make the decision and I get it back every time. So anyways, I am super excited for episode 5, which I'll be returning to the biographical journey in the next chapter of Beauty Revival. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty. And check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.